Without further ado, here's Tej.
Thanks, Christian. And thank you, Robert, and particularly Robert, for setting all of this up and bringing us together like this. The first thing that I want to acknowledge is that the technology that allows us to have as many as 1,000 of us on the phone really is amazing, and I wish it was more advanced to where we could actually have interactive so that we could actually hear your voices and you could ask questions in live time. Now, we don't have that, but what we do have is we've got a capacity for us to actually feel into the connectivity that occurs when we're actually together, even on the phone, all around the world. So if you just take a second and just first feel your own body, just kind of drop in, feel your breathing, and know that even though you're just listening to this call, the whole idea is to make it as interactive as we possibly can. So it's not just that you're receiving information, that you're actually, we're in heart circle together, all 1,000 of us around the world. And we'll be talking about what that means. And the first thing it means is be in touch with your own energy field, feel your thoughts, and feel what you're feeling right now. Are you feeling up or down? Are you feeling depressed or happy? And just take note. You don't have to do anything about it. And feel into your physical body. Do you have any aches and pains? And just kind of land and drop out of a lot of thought and just feel your own body energetically as well. And as we do that, then we're more in touch energetically with our own presence. And the more we're in touch energetically with our own presence, the more we can actually feel the energetic presence of everything that's around us, which means we can actually feel into all of the people on the call. Now, that may mean something to some of you, and it may not mean anything to others, but even if it doesn't mean anything, just imagine that we're all hooked up on the call, and we're all in the same circle, and we all essentially have the same aspirations. We're saying, okay, we've been born on this planet. There's all this going on in life. What is it that I really want to create in my life? And so this then gets to the first aspect of heart circles. And that is, a heart circle is specifically an environment where the people who participate in it can have a place where they get amplified information about what they're really truly feeling and wanting. And when I say wanting, it's what they're wanting to create in their lives. And that's create from moment to moment, as well as create month to month, in their year, and in their whole life in general. And so a heart circle, its specific function is for two people to get together, three, four, up to about 10 people. It's a small group. And to meet regularly. My suggestion with the heart circle model is that people meet once a week and minimally twice a month. And in this meeting, it's about a two-hour meeting, and it's dedicated to creating a space where people can feel into what they're feeling and wanting, and with that, they then also have a clear intention to more deeply connect with each other. In other words, to establish deeper friendships. And from that, we create a amplified field, and we get to then explore the effect of being with people in this amplified field to expand on what it is that we're feeling and wanting. So what I want to do is start with telling you how this call will be structured. And it really starts with what I really want out of the call. And because heart circles are about finding out what we want, I have to model that with you. And the first thing that I want is I really want to enjoy the call with you. I don't want to relate to you mentally. I want to actually feel into the field as I'm asking you to feel into it. And I want to feel you, whether you're in Australia or the United States or Canada or Mexico or Cyprus. We have somebody from Cyprus. I know some of the people on the call, Paul and Lynn Lubin and in Cleveland, good friends. There's all of us, we're together, and I just want to feel the connection to you. And I invite you into that same, do you want to feel part of this circle? Then the next thing is I want to share this model that I love, that I've been working on for the past, really, 25 years. I'm a major fan of small group dynamics, and I've been facilitating groups for a long time, and it's my passion. And it's also my response to what's happening in the world today, and it's also the gift that I want to give to the world, because it is my passion. I can't change the war in Iraq directly. I can't change global warming. But what I can do is inspire people to get together in circle and deepen their relationships and find their own inner heart direction. So I want to share this model with you. And I want to share also not only the model, but I want to share the benefits of it. And there's five benefits, and we're going to be going through each of those benefits. We'll give it each about 5 minutes. But and those benefits are, first is get in touch with what you're feeling. The second is get in touch with what it is that you're wanting and your own inner heart direction based on the law of attraction. The next thing is the benefits of heart circles about deepening friendships and creating community. And the next is that it's in these small circles that we can actually talk about the context of the times that we're alive in. We're saying what's going on in this time period and what is our response to the times in this massive period of global change. And then the last benefit of being in a heart circle is a heart circle is a place where we can remind ourselves that the purpose of life is to live in joy and to open our creativity. So we'll be talking about those benefits. The next thing is to share with you the vision that I know Christian shares around how we all can work together as small groups of heart circles around the world together, not as a multinational corporation that's franchised like McDonald's, but instead we're all independent, small heart circles communicating with each other from the heart. And these circles are all self-facilitated and self-organized. So I'll be sharing that vision. And then the next two things is on this call is to create a very simple step-by-step procedure that by the end of the call, you'll have 4 steps if you want to form a heart circle that's your own heart circle. By the end of the call, you'll have a clear idea of how to go about doing that. And then the next thing is for those people who are wanting to email questions, we'll have time at the end of the call for some of those questions. Now, I can't get your response back. If I was in heart circle, I'd say, how are you with that? Is that why you're on the call? And in lieu that I can't, I'll go, Kristen, is this good with you? And Robert, yeah. Kind of good you guys are, you're proxy for the other 1,000 people.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is I want to invite you, Kristen and Robert, that so I don't end up being kind of a talking head on this, is that interrupt anytime, get in anytime, because in a heart circle, we don't have a talking stick. We don't determine who talks when. It's just when spirit moves you, you speak. And if two people speak at one time, what friends do is they just work it out. So we'll create a dynamic between the three of us where it won't be just all talking. Now, the other thing about, I'm just going through the structure of the call, and that is we're going to be taking kind of breathers every 15 minutes or so, and we're going to do something interactive, so that it's not just a mental exercise. And these are interactive exercises that would mimic what actually happens in a heart circle. And we'll be doing one of those in about 5 minutes. So given that, I then want to go with the first benefit of a heart circle. And that is the function of a heart circle is it allows you a place where if you get together with a group of friends or with family members or with anyone that you have resonance with, it's people that you trust and care for. Just get together with several of them and agree to meet for an experimental time of, say, four times together, eight times together. And the first function of the heart circle is that you actually create an agreement amongst yourselves that you're going to be more open with talking about what it is that you're feeling and thinking and wanting. And heart circle is also a place where the function is to find out what the difference is between those three things. What am I feeling? What am I wanting? And what am I, what did I say, feeling, wanting, and what was the third one?
Was it thinking?
Thinking, feeling, wanting. Now, for this, one of the difficulties in our culture is that we don't really get a lot of practice in being able to distinguish the difference between what it is that I'm thinking or thought and what it is that I'm feeling or an emotion or an energetic feeling and what it is that I'm wanting, which is also a feeling. It's an energetic connection. So the first interactive exercise that we're going to do is, hopefully if you have a pencil and, or a pen and paper, it will involve that. If you don't, you can just do this by doing it in your head or saying the words out loud. But the first exercise is this. Let's take the question of what's happening in our environment today. We look at global warming. We look at the disappearance at a massive rate of the species that are endangered. We look at deforestation, the lack of clean water, and the list goes on and on. The tsunami, the earthquake, the earth changes, as we are going to hear more about in the next day, given what happened in Indonesia today. Now, first start, we're going to do this little exercise to experience the difference between what you're thinking about the earth changes in ecology today and the shape our planet's in. And then we're going to talk, or you're going to actually identify what you're feeling and what you're wanting. Because if we can then clarify those three things when we're talking to people, both in circle and outside of circle, then we don't cross our lines. If you ask me what I'm feeling and I tell you what I'm thinking, we're not going to communicate. And if you ask me what I want and I tell you what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling, again, there won't be communication. So in this case, just take a minute and just get still and watch the thoughts that pop up when I ask you directly. What is it that you're thinking about where we are ecologically on this planet? And just let the thoughts come. And if you have a pencil and paper or pen and paper, just write a couple of them down. Let them pop up. Don't judge them. Just write them. Kristen and Robert, you get to do this too.
Writing away.
Just watch your own thoughts. Okay. All we need is one or two or three thoughts, and they just kind of pop up. What do you think about what's going on? The next is, what's the feeling that goes on inside of you when you feel into what's going on, or when you think about what's happening in the environment? What do you feel? Do you get sad? Do you get scared? Do you get angry? And it'll just basically some of those basic emotions. Mad, glad, sad. The basics. Hopeless. Inspired. A sense of okayness, a sense of panic. But feel into what you're feeling and see if you can ensure that it's not a thought that you're coming up with. For example, if you say, I feel that, that's usually not a feeling. It's just you're back to thinking. Okay. Next, now then, just go to, this is so cool we can be doing this. We're really talking to 1,000 people. I just wish I could hear your responses back, but that'll wait. And you can always email this back, by the way, after the call is over. I'm just hungry to feel into feeling you and finding out what you're feeling and thinking about this. So the next go to what it is that you're wanting in relationship to the environment, to where we are globally. And let it be something, there's a specific instruction here, let what you're wanting be something that you yourself control. In other words, instead of saying, well, I don't want the planet to keep increasing in temperature, well, you don't control that. What is it that you want in relationship to what you're thinking and feeling that you specifically have some control over? What do you want in relationship to it? Not what should you do, but what pops up.
I think that's a really important distinction you make there, Tej, in that heart circles is a place where we get to practice differentiating between what our true heart wants and what we've been programmed to want, and that programming coming from parents, schools, religion, and a variety of other areas. It's like, can we differentiate? Can we tune into what we call heart intelligence, the ability to tune into what we want based on what feels good, that is resonant, that is true, that is from the heart? And that's a practice. Because sometimes I think I'm coming from a place of what I truly want, only to realize, wow, where did that come from? Where did that want actually emerge? And it was kind of strategic. It's interesting to play with that dynamic and to see the difference.
Yeah, and that then directly goes, if I can't stop the war in Iraq directly, I can also recognize that one of the causes of war is that when people are asked what they're feeling, and they tell you instead what they think or what they believe or what they think is true, then there can be major, major conflict between two people. But if people actually exchange what they're feeling, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling joyful, then there's not conflict if people are actually exchanging what it is that they're feeling. And then if they're exchanging then what they're wanting instead of what they're thinking, and when I really hear what someone wants, I automatically, I'm wired. If I'm really hearing what they want, because I'm a mammal that's a social animal, I will automatically want what the other person wants. There'll be a degree of that. Now, if I don't want what they want, I can then tell them what I want, and we can then start working on our differences. So this exercise is what helps bring people together, is we just start communicating much more from what we're feeling and wanting rather than what we think. Therefore, in a heart circle, we don't try to fix each other. It's not a place to analyze. It's a place simply to give each other space to say, hey, I'm interested in what you're feeling and what you're wanting. And yes, there's room here to tell me what you're thinking as well, but I want that to be minimal because I'm really, really wanting to connect with you from my heart and know what you're feeling and wanting. And then the whole energy of the heart circle, the more people communicate from what they're feeling and wanting, and they practice that, it's a laboratory where you get to practice it, then you actually experience how connected we get in our circle because people are doing it.
And not only that, the power of connecting to our feelings activates a physiological energy that is connecting to each other, and that is we create an entrainment with a group of people. An entrainment is a biological, physiological process where, like for example, a school of fish could be swimming, and if one of them chose to move right, they don't move right. They don't talk about it. They don't have a discussion about it. They don't intellectualize, shall we as a group of fish turn left or right? No, there's a biological, physiological entrainment that there's just this connection that when the group moves, they all move. And that's what happens in a heart circle, is that when we can move out of our minds and drop into our hearts, we activate resources and energy that connect at a physiological, biological level, and we get to feel and experience a level of connection that we hold as concept for most of our lives. You know, we've read all the books, we've done all the workshops, we've accumulated all the wisdom, and we kind of have mastered our life in our heads. And heart circle is a place for us to drop down and actually experience the entrainment of each other. Because the feeling is not something that we only feel in our own bodies. When we feel something, it automatically gets transmitted like a radio frequency that everybody else feels if they're sensitive to it too. And that's such a powerful, positive place to be in, because when you can put in what you want in an energy that is amplified by everybody else's feeling, the law of attraction has a chance to activate far greater, because you're now in a field of eight other people's desire energy all accumulating in one place, one focus, and all moving towards what it is that you're really wanting. And that is powerful.
That's very powerful. So then why don't we then go back to what your responses are. And if we go to the global issue, the ecological issue, if you look at what you're thinking, normally some thoughts would be, I think it's terrible, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, I think it's giving us an opportunity to actually come together as a planet, I think we're doomed, I think everything's okay and God's in charge. Whatever those thoughts are, see if yours fit into any of that. They're thoughts, and they're beliefs, and you may think that you know it, but they're thoughts. Then go to the next area in the feeling, and just find out if the feeling has something to do that you could actually communicate to another. You know what I'm feeling about the planet? I'm scared. It scares the hell out of me as to what's going on. And it isn't in my head. I think it's this, I think it's that, and I'm not going to do a spiritual bypass thinking, well, everything's okay. Those are there too, but they often are just, what's the feeling? It doesn't have to be an all-the-time feeling, but access what we're really feeling about things. So then we go to, okay, what are you wanting? And we, in order to really know what we want, we need to know what we're thinking and feeling to provide the context for it. In other words, if I know that I'm scared, what is it that I want to do in order to move into a place of equipoise, poise? What do I want to do to move? If I feel disempowered, what is it that I really want? And it has to be practical and something I control in order for me to not feel disempowered. So I am, in fact, empowered. So a heart circle is a place where we can practice witnessing what it is we're feeling, and in that we give space to find out what others are feeling, and not only do we empathize with ourselves and find out what we're feeling, but we then empathize and tune into what others are feeling, and that begins community and friendship. Then we move on. The second benefit, or function and benefit both, of Heart Circle is that it becomes a place where we can practice the power of focusing on what it is that we want, or we truly want from our hearts, our passion, our desire, our creativity. And then we use the law of attraction for those, most of you who understand that term because of the Abraham Hicks teachings or The Secret or whatever. But the heart circle becomes a place where we can practice getting in touch with what we want so that life itself can organize around that longing so that we can actually experience it being manifested through our willingness to receive it into our lives with gratitude and joy. And also where we practice being content with what we have and being impassioned and joyful about what we want. So a heart circle, the huge benefit and the probably the primary benefit is that it becomes a place where we practice finding out what it is that we're truly wanting. And this isn't just about the big things in life, the big goal, the big purpose in life. It's not the big capital letter things. It's also, hey, what do you want to eat tomorrow for breakfast? Do you want to turn right or do you want to turn left? Do you want to go to this function or party or do you want to stay home? And we have been, as a culture, I'm not saying you, oh, thousand great people, I'm just saying that as a culture, we have been programmed to want oftentimes what the teachers want for us, what the parents want, the advertisers, the government, whatever, instead of being taught by the government, the teachers and the parents, and the church or temple leaders, instead of being taught to be in our own stillness so we can find out what lies in the depths of our own longing in our own heart. It's so much more programmable to tell us what we want, and as a result we get a culture that can't sit still and find its own inner guidance. And heart circles become a way that we can practice shifting that, that's very, very practical. And it's
also
a laboratory.
What I found a huge piece in this with the law of attraction and manifestation in general using heart circles is that what the heart circles allowed me to do is to practice connecting to my longing without necessarily having to do anything about it. Like there's a thought that if I connect to what I want, I'm therefore responsible for manifesting it. That is something I need to do. Now, I don't want to put down doing this because inspired action is incredibly important to the process of creation. But the heart circle is a place for us to connect to what we want and then to enjoy connecting to what we want. It's how am I feeling about how am I feeling, not just the longing and then, okay, I've now got the longing, now I need to do this, do that, and now I need to create an action plan, a goal setting, and do all of that. It's more about sitting in the experience of, can I just enjoy and experience the beauty of connecting to what I really want, and then allow life to automatically rearrange itself. And when the inspired action comes, and we know when that is, there's no hesitance about it, it's not strategic, it's not mentally driven, it's from a place of, I really know what I need to do now in order to move forward. And then emotional guidance and heart intelligence directs us to what it is that we're wanting, and ultimately, whether we receive it or not, is actually that it's not that relevant because we've already got what we wanted from it anyway, from it, which is just the enjoyment of the longing.
There's something that just occurred to me with that, is that this also gives us the opportunity to recognize that this teaching, this whole idea of the law of attraction and doing exactly what you're saying, Christian, about actually enjoying tuning into our own heart direction, our own longings, and learning how that actually works. These teachings now are just coming in, and they're part of the new paradigm. The Secret brought it in, again, the Abraham Hicks teachings, and there's many other people bringing it in, and you yourself are probably practicing it. And so we're, heart circles then doesn't become a place where you go and where there's an expert telling you about all of this. Instead, a heart circle is a place where you can be reminded that this is how life organizes itself anyway. The more we deliberately do it, the more we actually can deliberately experience the enjoyment of it. And so circle becomes a place where we get together in order to see if it works and enjoy the process of doing it with each other.
You know, Tej, you know what I love about this is that you're right about that. It's not like you get in the circle and you are consciously saying we're going to practice the law of attraction or we're going to do this or do that. When you're going back to getting in touch with those feelings, I remember a quote from Neil's book, "Feelings are the language of the soul," and that the vibrational level of feelings that people have, especially the feelings that are connected to the things they desire, the things that they want in life, is where the true power is. It's not, you know, whether or not you're consciously thinking about, oh, I'm consciously trying to manifest this. And what your heart circles do is they organically, automatically, unconsciously connect in that vibrational level that is strong enough to pull those desires forth in your life, not only from your own energy and your own intention, but from the group setting. And I think that's where the power is really, really,
it amplifies.
Really powerful. Yeah,
it amplifies it, and that's what's so amazing about it. And then, so why don't we then go out of the talking about it, and we'll go into another kind of interactive exercise to kind of give a taste of what happens in a heart circle. Again, I just keep wanting to communicate to you. I would so love to have your voices back. This feels so funny to me. it's weird. But at the same time, if I keep telling you that's my longing, then maybe my heart will come through that says, oh, yeah, it's really true. So I can feel you, and I want to talk to you. So anyway, the interactive exercise is it's to practice what kind of pops up when you look at one area of life and identify something that you want. Now, in the book that I've written, Heart Circles, How Sitting in Circle Can Transform Your World, which the book is the manual of actually how to create a heart circle. It's almost like this call is the menu, and the book is the food. The book gives you the actual process of how, and it's very to the point, and it's written in such a way where there's not a lot of words. It gives you a step-by-step. This is what you do. This is the basis of what Heart Circle is. And one of the things that's in chapter, I think, 3, is it gives you 10 basic areas of life. They're arbitrarily dividing life into 10 areas. And you get to look at specific areas of where your longing is. So one of those areas is what you want in relationship to relaxing more, to play, to leisure, to deep relaxation. And so the question I have for you, and again, this is, you can write it down or just feel into it, but what happens, what kind of pops up when I ask the question directly to you? Hey, again, wonderful 1,000 people. What is it that you individually truly want this coming weekend that will feel really, really relaxing and restorative to you? And let the answer pop up, or let several answers pop up. Just feel it. Now, it may not just be one thing, but when you hit it and you actually smile because you go, oh, yeah, I really, really want to go to this party, or I really want to see this film, or, you know, I just want to sleep late on Saturday. Whatever it happens to be, when you hit it and it kind of pops up, it'll come with a smile, or it'll feel good. Now, when we hit those things where we're actually intentionally asking the question, what is it that I want in a given area, a couple things happen. One is by identifying it, you can kind of put that in the back of your heart, not mind, but somewhere in you, and life will begin to bring that to you simply because you've identified that that's something you really want. It doesn't guarantee that it will come because we don't know if you're really aligned to it. There may be some resistance to your getting all that, but that's another story. But in general, life will align to it. The other thing is that you can look forward this weekend to finding out if it comes to you, whatever it is that you wanted, simply because you were clear about wanting it. And when it does, there'll be a greater opportunity for you to feel really, really grateful. And then your connection to spirit or to source energy or to God, Goddess, becomes greater because you realize that all of this is a gift. That every breath we take, the food that we receive, it may look like we're creating our own food, but in fact, it's a gift of life. Speaking of gifts, I wanted to wish everyone or anyone a happy Rosh Hashanah, and also to recognize that I set this call on this night of Rosh Hashanah. And I did not tune into the fact that it was Rosh Hashanah, and I would not have done that if I had tuned into it, but I was kind of asleep on the call here on that. So, again, just a most high holy day for those people that relate to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now, back to what is it that you want this weekend? If you've written something down, just hold it and find out how it comes to you this weekend. And a little later in the call, we'll do it in a couple more areas of life.
Serge?
Yes?
A woman named Karen Castle, made a comment on the, a question came through on the email. And she wanted to ask whether you would agree that what you're talking about here, the heart circle model, does it have similarities with Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication? Are you familiar with that?
I am. It's really a good question. There are aspects of nonviolent communication that are used in hearts. In other words, let's always go for nonviolent communication. Who wants to talk like a jackal anyway? Rabbit talk or whatever the terminology is that of course we want to find ways to express things nonviolently. Now, at the same time, one of the things about Rosenberg is that I prefer a greater emphasis on communicating spontaneously what it is that I'm feeling and wanting, rather than just concentrating on how I'm delivering it. So there, to me, it's really important to deliver this nonviolently, but then you got to come up with what it is that you're going to deliver. And that is, we have to have environments that support us going deeply into our heart and holding space for us so that we get supported in finding out what we're truly wanting. Not just in that moment or in a week from now, but as a lifestyle. In other words, more and more, freedom is defined by my own capacity to feel into what I'm truly wanting, so I live more authentically because I stop doing what I don't want to do. And I'm not talking about want to do from the ego. I'm talking about if I'm not directed from my heart, I don't do it. I stay still until my heart directs me. And you can put that in any language you want. God directs you, Goddess directs you, that the way directs you, your own heart, your own desire. But we're finding new ways to say all of this, and it all leads down to the same thing, is that the beauty of finding environments that remind us that it's okay to follow what we want. It's not selfish. In fact, one more thought, Christian. In fact, if we're going to transform the world, we have to first get happy and focused and have the strength that comes because we're willing to have the guts to follow what it is that our heart, our conscience, and everything is saying, go forward.
Yeah. You know, when I hear you talk about sitting still until you are directed from the heart to move, you know, I realize how difficult that is for me personally in my own life, like, because I just love movement, and I find it very difficult to keep still and or slow down. It's probably found out from the way I'm talking. It's kind of fast. I get very excited, and but I really notice when you say that, a feeling inside of me goes, yes. Like, yeah. Even though I know that I yeah. move, what I want is to create more empowered peace and space, spaciousness, for me to just sit and go, what next? And I'm not going to move until I'm directed. And that's scary. There's a part of that feels really scared because I'm thinking, if I don't move, I might miss something.
Right. And the beautiful thing about that in Heart Circle is, and Christian, you and I know this, we've shared a Heart Circle here in Ashland for the past 10 weeks. But one of the things that happens is that if I come across my own fear around really tuning into my heart, I can then say that to the group, and I can tell the group or the circle, hey, I'm scared. I don't want you to fix it. I don't want to have to do anything with it, but I do want to tell you, it's scary for me to get still and really tune into my heart. And everybody goes, thanks for sharing.
Without fixing it.
Now, whoever asked the question about Rosenberg, I wish we could find out from you, sweet one, if that answered your question. So again, write back if it didn't, and know that we're kind of doing an interruptus thing here that is still very funny, but here we are. We at least get to be on the phone with so many people. Why don't we then move into the next benefit? The first benefit is heart circles create a space to tune into what you're feeling. The next is it gives you a space to find out what you're really wanting, given what you're feeling. And it amplifies those wants, and it just provides space. But the third thing is that when we're actually doing this with people, sharing what we're feeling and what we're wanting, the third benefit and function of Heart Circle is you start connecting with people deeply. When you tell me what you want, and you listen to what I want, and you tell me what you're feeling, and you listen to what I'm feeling, you're not a threat to me, and I'm not a threat to you. We're being open and honest with each other. We can disagree on what we're feeling, and we can have cross wants, but we're then in a position to negotiate. If we, in fact, want to have the other's wants fulfilled as well as our wants fulfilled, so we operate with a win-win paradigm rather than a win-lose paradigm. And Heart Circles, then, is a place to practice win-win as opposed to win-lose, and to not practice scarcity model, but say, of course there's room for everyone to get what they want. And if two people have opposing wants, then generally, if we really listen to each other, one will give way to the other because they want to. They'll be loved.
Indeed.
And it'll feel better to give way. And I'm not talking being a doormat. I'm talking about it'll feel better to give way. Once I know what you want, I may really want you to have what you want. For example, right now I'm, again, feeling into, I just want to know, how all are you doing? So let's take another interactive break with this and just check in. Are you getting what you want right now with this phone call? Are you feeling your body? Are you bored? Are you excited? Are you countering whatever we're saying or I'm saying with your own thoughts? Are you enjoying it? And just feel into it and don't judge it. But the more you feel what you're feeling, and again, if it was circle, you'd be able to communicate it, the more then that you're interactive in this call, that you're part of the circle, as opposed to this damn bystander routine that we have in our television culture. Because one of the earmarks of a heart circle is that if you're in a heart circle, it's your circle. Nothing moves unless it's by consensus because it's your circle. So just take another moment to kind of feel, how you doing?
And also, you can write to us to share how you're doing, or if you have a specific wants. If you want something, if you want Tej or I to talk about something particular to you, to your life, to what's going on, you know, we are totally open to that, right, Tej?
Exactly. And, also, you can write after the call, too. Would love to have your feedback since we weren't able to do it. This brings up another point, and that is that we have, or at least I'll speak for myself, I have a longing that I want to share my book. I want to sell my book. I have a teleclass series that gives people a step-by-step way where there's actual interaction that begins soon. Yeah.
We've just had our first little email from Sharon. She says, phone call is very enjoyable and wonderful and helpful. Thank you.
Oh, good.
and Karen has replied to say that, yes, you did answer her question about the nonviolent communication.
Good. Good. So what I was, and you can just keep interrupting because there's no such thing in it, you know, just keep going. What I was saying is that I'm really longing to get the information out through the book and the telecourses, and that's part of it. But what I'm wanting more is that I know that the whole process of people getting together in groups, particularly if they can self-facilitate them and self-start them, then it gives us something that we actually can do to respond to the times that we live in.
Dave, we've got another couple of emails. We'd like to hear them.
Yeah, run.
One of them is a question, and I think this is a wonderful question.
Oh, Kristen,
question.
You know what I did? I just said yes when I really meant no, because I was... So I want to demonstrate that this isn't something that anyone ever masters, and particularly I started the heart circle model, but I'm in heart circles of my own as well as facilitate heart circles so that I can catch these things where I say yes when I mean no. In this case, I just wanted to finish the thought and then go to that. Is that
wonderful?
Okay.
It feels really good. Thank you.
Good. And again, it's only because I'm in this. On this phone call and in this environment where we make an agreement we can do this, that we can do it.
Indeed.
So anyway, what I just wanted to finish the thought that is a perfect segue into the fourth function of heart circles, and that is, folks, we get to create an environment where we can talk about what time it is historically. In other words, over the water cooler at work, we may talk about the news. Over the dinner table, we may give our opinions, but there's very few places where we can actually sit together and sacredly share what it is that we're feeling about what's happening in the news and on our planet. And not only what we're feeling, but, and I mean really feeling in the depths of us, but also, given that we then feel what we feel, that will inform us of what it is that we truly want in relationship to what's happening in the world. In other words, heart circles become an incubator to help your gift come out into the world that can only come through your passion that you feel the pain or the wound or the opportunity that's part of being alive at this particular point in time in this massive transition, where, folks, there is a danger. The systems that we rely on to feed and clothe and house us and all of that, we're seeing that those systems have broken down in many parts of the world. In the United States, for example, it broke down in New Orleans with the hurricane. And it's broken down in so many parts of the world. And so a heart circle is a place where we can talk and feel about what it is that's going on and come up with what we want. And one of the things that we get to do is we get to create small circles that no matter what happens in the world, we have a safety net of 2, 3, 4, 10 people that we can call in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day, and we say, I need you, and they show up.
Yeah.
And why? It's because we've met week after week. It's not a weekend workshop, and then you go away and you never see each other. It's that you're consciously creating a network for yourself. And I'm not talking about saving the world. I'm talking about transforming your world so that you have your own heart circle, so your back is covered, so that your inspiration is allowed to come up more. And of all things that we need, to me, this is a huge one, because we need to relocalize our communities. And instead of relying on the trucks that come up the interstate in the United States, or the Autobahn in Germany, or wherever in Australia, or I don't know what you're doing in Cyprus, but wherever that is that we need to know how to create resonance among a small group of people, no matter what the circumstances are externally, and so that we can be responsive to the times, no matter what happens. And if nothing happens that's terrible to us, wonderful, we're calling in that using the power of attraction. And if there is crisis, then we've got a backup for that. So no matter if everything is peachy, smooth, dandy, we've got friends to with us. But even then, if there's personal crisis, if there's a death in the family, if there's a fight that you can't digest with a loved one, you've got a circle to come to and say, I need grounding, I need centering, I need to come back to my heart.
Wow.
So
very inspiring.
It's so powerful. And I'm not speaking of this, again, from a guru position or a teacher position. I'm speaking from the place that I don't know how I would, how my life would be the where it is now if I didn't have my own heart circles. There's so many times when I've needed to say, hey, folks, I'm in pain. I don't know how to handle all of what's happening in my own personal world or in the world at large. I want to talk, and I want to find out what you're feeling. I want you to hold me. Either physically or actually hold space for me, because I want to be felt. And then that then leads to empowerment, so that we're not alone in front of our TVs digesting all of this news and becoming numb because of it.
You know, Tej, hearing you, it just brings up so much gratitude and excitement and reconnection to the joy of the fact that I feel so grateful and lucky that I am in heart circles and I get to give that gift and be in heart circles so much. It's like, wow, it's so inspiring, and thank you for that gift to me, and just hearing you share that and go, you know what, you know, it's so easy to take that for granted when you live in that environment, but that what you're saying is absolutely true, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
Good.
That feels really, really good. It's
good.
Really, really good. And good. If some of you who are on the call are like hearing this going, wow, I really want to be in my own heart circle, as Tej mentioned earlier, just get a hold of his book. It is amazing. It's so clean and clear, and it just simply outlines how to create your own circle. That's really it. It shows a bit of the background theory and the model, but basically it's like these are the steps. And so it was so good that, you know, Embracing Change now has every participant have one of those books, because it's a must-have. So if this is exciting to you, just get a hold of a copy. You can even download it on the Internet. There's an e-book version of it as well. So I just wanted to make sure that people understand that is a really important step, and it's so clear and simple and easy to do. So it's wonderful.
It's actually really, really practical too, because if you buy or download a book and you share it with a friend, you can start your own heart circle with just getting together with one other person and sitting together for an hour and just simply say, hey, I want to share with you what I'm feeling, what I'm wanting, and then I want you to do the same with me, and I want you to hold space for me. And then we'll close. We'll get up and go. And then let's come back and find out, hey, how did we do during the week in relationship to what we truly wanted? And how are we feeling about that? And what else do we want? Those two people then, you and another, can then find two or three other people. And then you've got an expanded circle. Or the other nice thing is that the family is the original heart circle. And it's so amazing in our Western culture where we actually have forgotten or whatever. I don't know if it was ever there directly, but the function of a family can be where the purpose is that there's an environment in which each family member can be held in such a way where they're constantly tuning into what is it that you're wanting and what is it that you're feeling. And how can we support you in feeling better, more joyful, and how can we then support you in getting what you want? And the first thing we can do is at least find out what it is and say, hey, we hear you. Go for it. It will come to you. And I'm enjoying knowing what it is that you're feeling and wanting. I feel closer to you as a family member. And if a family does that regularly, in a set time, once a week or once every 2 weeks, then they begin to incorporate that into their family life. They begin to communicate more directly from their heart, and the family grows. And this can be the same thing with friends. It can be the same with church or temple groups. It can be brought into businesses. It can be in any social environment. So, Christian, I'm aware that I then... we left off with your wanting to share some of the emails that came in, and then I took it in the other direction, so we're back.
Very good. Thank you for remembering. There was an email from, I'm just trying to read this, it's from Therese, I think that's how you pronounce it, and Keith, or that's how it's coming up on my email server, but basically they ask a question and they say, you speak of deep connection, which could also be defined as intimacy. This can be satisfying, but also bring forward old wounds and difficulties, even in those who have done their personal work. How does this model deal with this?
Oh, such an amazing question. It deals with this in a very specific way. And that way is that when wound or the emotional pain body comes up and people are in circle and they're exploring what they're feeling and what they're wanting, and a person goes into their pain, the whole idea is not to process the pain. In other words, get to the bottom and have them shift out of it. The idea is to provide an environment where they're able to feel the pain safely and be assured that everything's okay. In other words, it's not only safe for them to feel what they're feeling, but that people feel honored, that they are allowing the others to feel their pain with them.
Yeah.
And when we know that we're being felt, that is love. And so what happens is that will then help trigger a person into a sense of repair. They'll feel held. Now, it's also a good thing not to process the pain. And again, I'm not sure if I'm using too much jargon when I say process. I don't know if this translates to you, but what I mean is don't investigate it psychologically, but allow a person to actually feel what they're feeling, allow them the story or the thoughts that come with it, but not to get too lost in the story and not to go too deeply into the pain without then bringing it back up to say, given that you're feeling what you're feeling, is there something that comes with this that you deeply want in order to make sense out of the pain that you're in? And invariably, a person will, when they're asked the question, and people actually ask it out of not trying to fix, but actually wanting to know, then a person will then come across a heart answer that will change the frequency of the pain body, and it will be an elevator out of the pain body without processing and without having to have someone who knows what the hell they're doing in the circle in terms of processing. In other words, we're not... We're not licensed. We're not educated. We're not, and I don't even want to do it. Even if we were, I can do all that processing. I've been trained in it. I know how to do it, and I instead prefer the model of just giving people space to feel into what they're feeling, and at the appropriate moment, finding out what they're wanting. Now, again, I want to refer to the. There's going to be a series of teleclasses. They'll be limited in number. There will be a cost to it. I think it's $80 for four classes. They're hour and a half classes. And it's for those people on this call that are interested in actually moving forward with starting a heart circle or starting a circle with just one other person, their mate or a friend or whatever. And in the four calls, begin to get the experience of being in this kind of relationship with one, two, three, or four, or five, or six people. And then get back on the next week call, not only get in for more information, but be able to interact where I can say, hey, how are you doing? And if you have questions or you have feedback or you have a way to increase the effectiveness of the circle that I don't know about, whatever your response is, we have a place to talk about it together. Because I've found that in relation to the book, as well as just some early coaching and a feedback loop that's live and real. In other words, there's real voice, there's real getting to know each other. And there's email communication as well. That it allows a person in 1 month, they can jumpstart being able to facilitate their own heart circle. I found it really effective. Now, if you don't want to do that and you just want to start it with get the book and do it that way and have nothing else to do, that's fine too. And if you don't even want to get the book, just take what we've talked about and do it in your own way. That's fine, too. But I'm saying that the passion that I have is to work with people who are interested in making their own circle very powerful. And then I'm also really, really interested in people who belong to organizations who want to bring the heart circle model into the organizational life so that people in the organization are moving from what is they're truly feeling and wanting. And it's heart-directed. Hey, Robert, how are you doing? Still there? Robert dropped off. Kristen, you there?
I'm here. I'm right
okay.
here.
Robert is checking the line, probably.
You know, one of our most common email questions has been, you know, there's just an overwhelming excitement around how do they create their own circle. They're wanting to know, okay, how do I create a circle? Is there something that you want to describe around how a circle is formed with the basic structure?
Yes, I do. Again, good question. Let's start at its most basic level. In circle dynamics, the most important thing is that when people get together, regardless of what the circle is about, whether it's a business meeting or any other kind of meeting or just two people sitting down and talking together, if they make an agreement that what's welcome here while we're talking is I want to know what you're feeling and I want to be able to say what I'm feeling and I want to know what you're wanting, that the agreement is that that is the central part of what you're communicating with each other in the time period that you're sitting. That is the essence of the heart circle model. Now, if you're wanting to start a heart circle that's very specific, a heart circle, where the only function is not to do yoga, although you could do a yoga in the heart circle if that's what everybody wanted, it's not to process, it's not a support group to get out of some addiction, although you can do all of that, but it's only from what a person wants. But the direct function of a heart circle is you get together in order to explore what it is that you're feeling and wanting, and you're specifically saying, I want to create a deeper relationship with you by sharing with you what I'm feeling and wanting. And I also want to be able to talk about what's happening historically in the times that we're alive in. So given that, the first step is find someone that you resonate with, trust, and care for. And show them the book or talk to them about the ideas that we're talking about or take them to the Heart Circle website. Or if Christian, take them to your website, embracingchange.com or .org. And sit with the person and say, hey, let's experiment with this. Why don't we, for an hour or 2 hours a week, let's just sit together, and it'll be at a specific time, And then let's use the agenda that's set up in the Heart Circle book. Now, the Heart Circle book has very specifics about the agenda. There's two chapters devoted to it. But very specifically and simply, it's this. You get together and you sit in silence for a few minutes, which I call tuning in. In other words, you just drop out of your thinking, or at least you watch your thoughts, and you drop into what you're feeling in your body and your emotions and your energetic body. And then from there, feel the other person, that you're in the presence of other people. And feel the field that you're creating, the circle field, or the collective field that you're creating together by sitting together. And just take 3 or 4 minutes. Just be still. Then check in. And this is, again, a very short thing. And a check-in is simply inform each other how you're doing. What are you feeling? What's going on? If something has happened during the week, give a very brief, you know, I had difficulty at work, da-da-da-da-da-da, this is what I'm feeling. And then give a brief synopsis of what it is that you're wanting. Tonight when we're together, or today together, what I want is I want to go deeper into what I'm really wanting in relationship to my work. I'm stuck here and I want to really feel it. Or whatever it happens to be. And then the rest of the time after everybody checks in, the rest of the time is kind of allocated kind of equally, but you don't have to have a clock necessarily. It's just with people saying, you know, I would like some time tonight and I want the focus of this circle and I want you to hear me and I want to feel into what I want. And there's ways to do that, again, that the book lays out that are much more specific than what I'm talking about. When you're complete with that, and as that goes on, there'll be plenty of times to practice what you're feeling and wanting, and issues will come up, and wounds will come up that you get to feel into. All of that will happen, but it shall be magical. And it won't be programmed, and you'll never know what's going to happen next because you enter into the mystery. And so Heart Circle is a place to actually enter into what life is. We haven't a clue what's going to happen in the next moment. But what we do have a clue is to find out what our heart wants in relationship to what we choose from moment to moment. So Heart Circle is a place to practice that intentionality with each other and find out how it connects us together. Then, when that's complete, and you close at the time that you said you're going to close, then you close and you just kind of sit back in silence. And you simply say whether you're feeling incomplete or complete or whether you're grateful or not about the function of sitting together. And you just say thank you very much and move on and then meet again.
Tish, Karen is asking, the verb you're using, what does it mean to hold space for somebody?
Good. Is this our Karen of
yes.
Nonviolent yes. Communication? Okay.
Correct.
Hi, Karen. Boy. Thanks for going for what you want, Karen. holding space, it's again a really a good question. I want to read a Tolle question. What's his name? Edgar Tolle?
Yes, that's it.
His name. Anyway, the wonderful, wonderful Vancouver guy who's just hit such a beautiful. This is his quote. Wisdom arises through the simple act of giving someone or something your full attention. Attention is primordial intelligence, consciousness itself. It joins the perceiver and the perceived in a unifying field of awareness. It is the healer of separation. So, Karen, what I mean by holding space, and again, I know I'm using jargon, and it's good that you have us clarify it. What I mean by holding space is giving someone my attention that's not divided by my own thinking and judging. I'm simply feeling and alert to them and aware of my own response to what it is that they're saying and feeling. And I'm willing to be open and honest with what comes up for me. And so then I'm in true dialogue with them. And oftentimes that... there's this deep part of us that, in fact, there's a debt that most of us, I'll speak for myself, I walk around with. I see so many people who are in heart circles that it's there to address, and that is the debt is that we have been in far too few environments where we're actually feeling other people feel us and where we can practice consciously feeling other people and getting feedback on whether they're feeling us feel them so that we can develop that skill or that art, and in such a way we create deep community. And again, it goes back to, I can't stop the Iraqi war, but I can certainly create deeper community where I live by learning how to feel people and create resonant fields. And
indeed,
by following my own inner heart direction and having the courage and the guts to follow what I truly want instead of what I've been programmed to want.
Yeah. Very good. And another question from Andy from Australia. He asks, what if someone speaks of an abusive situation, whether that's the past or the present, a situation they're in as a victim or a perpetrator, like how do you handle that if it's self-facilitated and there is no professional holding that? What if somebody brings into the circle something that really is abusive that they're going through as a victim?
Right. This is Andy, did you say?
Yes, from Australia.
Oh, Andy from Australia. The first thing I want to do is demonstrate what we can do over the phone by my talking directly to you. In other words, I know you're there because you just emailed, unless something happened to the phone connect, and you're there. So I'm just wanting to say directly, I thanks for the question, and so I want to speak directly to you. First of all, say it's really a good question, and it's essential to be able to have an effective heart center to answer that question. And that is, when someone is experiencing themselves as being a victim to whatever is happening in their life, a heart circle is a place where they can actually show up as a victim and have no one judge them for it, so that they can actually experience themselves as, wow, I'm not experiencing that I have any choice about what I'm feeling. And someone can say, well, does that feel victim-y? As opposed to, are you a victim, and analyzing it, just how does that feel to you? And if someone says, well, it doesn't feel good at all, I see no way out of this, I can't find a way out, I'm hopeless, then the beautiful thing about the process of heart circles and the question of what it is that you want is that it actually takes you out of victimhood. The question itself is an elevator out of victimhood, because if a person's willing to be with the question of what do I want in relationship to I feel like a victim, without anybody making them wrong and feeling, well, you shouldn't feel like a victim, you should feel more empowered, or trying to fix them, the question itself is what fixes them if they're willing to be with the question and hold their attention on it. And oftentimes that takes a circle of people to hold the attention with them. In other words, it's very difficult to do by myself. And I need my friends to be there and say, hey, we'll sit with you, Tej, while you feel like a victim. Until you get to what you want. And as soon as you get to what you want, you're no longer a victim, because you're actually choosing to want something. And victims don't want anything, because there's no room. They had any space to be other than victimized. That's why they're a victim. So by actually tuning, I don't want to repeat myself. So how'd you like that, Andy? Let me just email a thing. And again, I don't know you, but thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good question.
Yeah, it really was. Another question that came through from Arash. I don't know if that's how you pronounce the name. Arash. She asked,
Arash.
They say, I'll just quote the email. I would imagine the pillar of the heart circle is to create a safe environment for everyone to start sharing. How do you initiate that kind of safety with a group that you know for the first time? So in other words, how do you create safety?
Again, who's, is say the name again, sorry?
Well, I'll try it. It's A-R-A-S-H, Arash.
Arash, okay, whatever.
Arash.
If I'm mangling your name, my apologies. But Arash, again,
me too.
A very powerful question. And my answer with the heart circle model, actually, Christian, can you put it in a nutshell again?
Yes, how do we create safety? The great people.
But was the question the first time that you meet, or the second time? You mean when you first start
meeting?
Yeah,
like how do you initiate safety with a group of people you don't know?
There's a very specific answer. How do you create safety in a group initially? And that is, you make the agreement to do so, and you find out what agreements make people feel safe. For example, if you have an agreement between each other to say your feelings are welcome here and we won't try to fix you, and at the same time we'll be holding focus on what it is that you're wanting, does that feel good to you? Do you feel safe with that? And if they do, then the heart circle's for them. Another thing is confidentiality. You make an agreement, you know, I want a place where if I'm going to share things that are really deeply personal to me, I want to make sure that it's not shared outside the circle. And for me to feel safe with you all, I want confidentiality. Do you agree? And when everyone agrees, they actually create a vibrational web, to use again jargon, a vibrational web that is itself the safety, because there's a grid or an energetic grid that protects people, because there's a heart resonance based upon agreements. Now, we're not talking rules. We're talking, we're making these agreements because it's what we want in order to feel safe.
And you have these agreements written in your book, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they're on page da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And there's 11 agreements. And then you may have others besides them, but those 11, what I've found in 25 years of circle dynamics, that if you don't have those 11 agreements that are in the book, it's really difficult to establish safety. For example, you have an agreement with each other to not third-party talk each other. Meaning, Christian, if you and I are in circle, and then Robert shares something in circle, and we're all together, and then outside of circle I start talking about Robert, then that's no good. We make an agreement not to do that, unless it's uplifting. But if I start saying, oh, Robert's this and that, no good. It's not safe. So we agree always to no third-party talk unless it's uplifting.
Yeah.
Now,
I was just going to say, it's important to note as well, once you're actually in circle and the circle is actually moving forward, there are certain things that you can be conscious of that could add safety. And one of them is to give your spontaneous response. That is, when somebody is sharing, when there's silence and there's this uncomfortable tension that is, okay, nobody's saying anything, but you have a response, but it's not spoken, that creates a sense of, you know what, people aren't being really clean. It's like, it's almost like people can feel that you have a response, but you're not congruent by expressing the response through your words and through, maybe it's just a sound, like, like whatever it is, we withhold our response, and it's not something that is bad, it's just programming. So spontaneously responding as the dynamic unfolds and as the heart circle unfolds is really important. And that includes, by the way, if there's a shadow aspect, and again, I'm using jargon now, shadow meaning if there's something that you're triggered by, you know, you feel upset, tense, there's something that somebody said, or you're just experiencing your own stuff while in circle, to hold that back is a form of withhold. And so we're not talking about just blurting it out unconsciously, but when you get to share, when a shadow part of you is up in any given moment, it creates incredible safety. It really draws people in. And as long as there's a safe container through an agreement of not fixing, people will be more able to reveal their shadow without the fear of them getting processed.
Exactly.
Or attacked.
That's huge. That's so huge. I just am aware of the time. I would love to have this actually be a three-hour call instead of an hour. And I want to ensure, and again, I'm modeling heart circle in this, I want to ensure that we have time to close. And so closing is to kind of sum up, and I want to close with the fifth benefit or function of heart circle, and besides being able to be clear on what you're feeling, what you're wanting to create in your life, to create friendship, deep friendship and community, as well as to be able to look at what times we're in historically and what your gift is, the fifth function of a heart circle is to actually experience life joyfully and creatively. And a heart circle becomes a place where it's not a heavy group. It's, in fact, a light place where we can deal with dark things lightly. And it's also, again, I love the Abraham Hicks teachings where the purpose of life is joy. And we may be going through greater and greater times of instability, and to actually be able to tune into, we have the option to enjoy this rather than make it problematic. But oftentimes we need an environment to support us in holding that. And that's called family and community and deep friendship. So that's a kind of summation of the function of what a heart circle practice is. The steps to take is what I'm suggesting is, it's not just a commercial, go buy my book. It wasn't written for that. That's not what it's about. It's very clearly in the book, there's a clear step-by-step process where you can get together with several people and start your own heart circle and explore it and do it experientially rather than read another book and get some nice intellectual concepts. This is something to serve you for the rest of your life, but it's something that you get to do and experience, and you get to create the magic of what happens in your own circle. And so with that, I would like to just drop back into a little bit of silence and to have you tune in to what are you feeling now. It's really welcome what you're thinking, but drop in a little deeper. What's the feeling that goes with you? And ask yourself, do you feel complete with this call? Or was the call kind of jangling, or maybe there were technical difficulties that you didn't agree with what we're saying? Or maybe it really resonated with you and you're inspired to really start a heart circle of your own with people that you care for and trust. But whatever it is, feel it. And as 1,000 people who are sincere in actually bringing in the new paradigm, we actually just feel each other for a few moments. And mentally, in other words, say the words either mentally or say them out loud, what your response to the circle is, this phone circle. And my response is one of deep gratitude. A little choked up here. Deep gratitude. What a privilege to be with you. And Christian, thank you. And Robert, if you're back, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Pleasure.
And so I say blessings to all of you. And again, I'm complete and leaving this heart circle in great gratitude.